It's a constant surrendering that we have to do by just taking and believing that word. Let's all stand as we sing that once more. We'll ask Brother Colley to come this morning for the responsive reading. Oh, he is Lord. He is Lord. For he has risen from the dead, and he is Lord.
Blessed thing to know that we have a Lord that will care for us and take care of us and just let us always be surrendered unto Him. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 143. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful for your love and mercy, your kindness unto us. Lord, we ask that you would guide us, Lord, and bless us continually. We ask that we would learn who you are and follow after you in your ways. God, whatever it is we have need of that you have, Lord, you will give it unto us if we will accept it. Father, we love you and we know that you love us. We ask you to remember all these in the Sunday school classes and remember everyone here in the sanctuary. God, let them seek you first and ask you to guide and lead them. Remember Brother Dale this morning, bless him, that he may speak unto us that which we have need to hear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness.
Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified.
For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead.
Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands.
I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah.
Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down in the pit.
Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee.
Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemy. I flee unto thee to hide me.
Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of unrighteousness.
Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And out of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy them of them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Let's sing that chorus, Thy Loving Kindness is Better Than Life, in the key of C.
Oh, Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy love in kindness
to thy name. Oh, I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Oh, thy love and kindness is better than life. Thy love and kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. And I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Let's just praise him. Oh, I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Amen. Let's turn to page 169 in the Spiral Songbook, if you have it near you. Amen. So wonderful to us this morning to bring us into his presence, to meet us here in his word. Amen. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes all my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. And he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. And he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. I'm living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace has wrought in my lonely station. Yet my soul has received full and free salvation. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. And he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Let's sing that once more. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes all my sadness. Oh, guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river.
forever. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. He's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, and He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of my past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, and He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Let's all stand. Living here with my Lord in this holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace hath wrought. It's all about His grace. Since my soul has received full and free salvation. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, and He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. He's so wonderful to us. He's set us free by His grace, and He's healed us by His word. Just pray and hope that you just can pull on the word this morning, and whatever need you have, whatever desire you have, the Lord is here to meet it. Amen. Let's change the word of the service as Brother Dale comes out this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see You. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Bless You, Lord.
I want to see Jesus, I want to see You, to see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory.
Amen.
So pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted.
Look at each other, you might find God sometime. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. It's good to have everybody together. There's some of you that are visitors, and we always say, when you come one time here, you're a visitor. And we say to you, welcome. If you come two times, you're just a part of us. And also, you know, some of you have been here before, so welcome back. That's the best way to say it. And to the ones that hadn't been, welcome to do that. We've got a special little event this morning to transpire, so let's get that out of the way as we go through into the service. So if they'll bring the baby up, we will have a baby dedication. All right. Hey, family. All family comes up too. You know. Okay. Bring up the. Yeah, come on, family. You're going to hear we're all family anyway, so that'll be part of it. Hey, so we're glad to have a little one to dedicate to the Lord. We don't believe in infant baptisms or something like that, but we do believe that what the Lord Jesus done, he took the little children and blessed them and, you know, dedicated them to the Lord. So that's what we do. We dedicate the baby to the Lord. But now remember what we also do. We dedicate everybody in the building. Everybody's dedicated on this dedication, not just the baby. So you're dedicated to live your life before this child so that it can have an opportunity in life.
Amen.
So that's the greatest thing that I could think of doing. So let's get the little one and see if we can hold her. All right. Maybe she won't wake up. If we do, we'll start screaming, okay? All right. Okay. Little Danielle Joy Fountain. So we dedicate her to the Lord. And like I said, now we're dedicating the baby to the Lord. But remember, we're dedicating ourselves to live before the child.
Amen.
So that it can have an opportunity to be able to see God in all things. So, hey, you ain't going to cry on me, are you? No, you're going to smile on me. Okay. All right, little Danielle Joy Fountain. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being able to hold this little one. You gave it to us, Lord, to be something that we could look at and see you, Lord, guiding each and every one of us. And we believe you and we thank you. We ask you now that you would just, Lord, accept the part of what we're all trying to do. Church and everybody, family, all together. We're dedicating this little one to you, for Lord, for you to be the great honor of all of its life. And then we know, too, that as we dedicate the little one, then we're dedicating ourselves to live before the child. So we thank you for it. We commit it to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, I'm going to wake up now. Now then, okay. Hey. All righty. Amen and amen. Dedicate them to God, because that's what our desire is. Not infant baptisms or nothing like that, but to dedicate. To dedicate ourselves now, so don't forget that. You that were present today, you dedicated your heart and life to saying, I'll live before this one, so it can have an opportunity to see Christ in each one of our hearts and lives. Amen. All right. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 2 and Luke 3. As I said, many visitors with us and many that have been here before, and we're glad to have Brother John and his daughter back with us. Maya. We're glad to have them back with us. They walked with us for quite a while, and now they come back for a few days to just be with us and all, and so we appreciate it. Thank God for taking care of our sister. She had a lot of problems and things, and the Lord came down and just took it away, so we thank God for that. Okay, Sister Monica's class is to practice 12:45, so remember that. All right. Brother Luis is preaching for Brother Burley. Remember him and all of the things that you have. I wrote myself a whole bunch of notes, so, you know, we'll try to get rid of some of them. But just remember these things, okay?
We need to meet between services about going to Father's Day.
Right.
So probably about 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock today. Down in the bottom stairs. We meet together about the Father's Day outing next week. We've got somewhere 20-something of us that are planning on going.
Also, Jim needs to meet with the sisters that are going to pick up at the
time. Right. Okay. The sisters go in another room and let them talk about what they're going to do while we talk about what we're going to do. Okay? All right. Everybody understand? Okay. Ephesians 2 and Luke 3. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and your love, Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to be able to, Lord, stand before your people, the purchase of your blood, and to be able to talk about you and the great opportunity that we have to serve you. We love you and we thank you and we ask you to just have your way with each one. We know there's many sick among us. You promised us that you would touch each one. So we believe you and we ask you to just guide and direct each one and just have your way with all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember, we've been on this Ephesians 2 for quite a while. So just think about, you know, what we're doing. And just use the verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now remember our point, what it's been? You're saved by grace through faith. We say, well, I was saved by grace. It's through faith. It's through a journey. Through your life, you're living your life as a journey to travel through and to see, you know, and you're saying, all right, now, that's my salvation. Because that's what we've been on for quite a while, okay? Look into Luke 3 and 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. All right, now, just as the point before you're seated, that's John the Baptist. But the main thing is to see what his message was repentance and remission of sins. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Okay. Now, we've been dealing with talking about salvation. Okay. We know that in John 3, Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus a simple understanding of what it was to be saved. Right? He was just trying to tell him. He tried to describe to him. He said, now you must be born again. Nicodemus says, you mean I got to go back to my mother's womb to be come forth again? And he said, No, that's not the story. That's not the point. But you must be born of water and of spirit. All right? Water and of spirit, bringing him forth into the things that come from doing. All right? The new birth. The natural birth is a type or an example of the new birth. Right? As a baby comes into the world, first the water breaks, then the blood, and then the baby coming forth into life. So, all right. In other words, what was simple, if you'll think about it, and I tried to explain a little, that Jesus was trying to get Nicodemus just to see one thing. If he couldn't see and understand how that it would take this journey of a Christian life or a point and to bring forth and be, showing forth to all mankind what we need to do to be saved. Our salvation. All right. In other words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All right. We've got that right. We've got our points and our thoughts and the scriptures right. But the main point is I've been asking you the question, what do you think about your salvation? Because if the Lord Jesus was right, and we believe that, then he was saying that you must be born of water and of spirit. In other words, natural birth would exactly be the example he's trying to describe to Nicodemus. What is the natural birth? Water blood, and life. All right. Now, what would it take then to make the new birth? If that's the first birth, why would it not be the same things in example form, our thoughts, of the new birth as it was to talk about a natural birth? See, then that shows us where we stand. That, as I said, we look at what happens in the natural, we see what's happening in the spiritual. All right? See, then what have we dealt with in our thoughts and ideas of trying to bring it to a point of understanding? That you first must be drawn of God. In other words, salvation. Your first step in salvation is the fact of whether or not God called you, because in John 6, 44, then going on down to 65, Jesus was telling them what? No man can come to the Father except by me, in other words. And he said, it can't be done unless my Father draws him. All right? So salvation is based upon not whether or not you accept God. That's a part of the story. But it's upon the basis of whether or not he would accept you. All right? So repentance or remission of sins is to be preached in the name of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, see, then in doing that, then you see that God must deal with each individual person. All right? He doesn't deal with a group. He deals with each individual. The person sitting right next to you can be going through an experience and you sitting there knowing nothing about it. Because it's not for a group. It's an individual. He went to the individuals when he was here. See, Nicodemus was there. Peter was there. The different ones, the one the Lord Jesus called as he journeyed, you know, come and follow me and all. It's an individual affair with God. It's not what mama done. It's not what daddy done. All that's well and good. We dedicated the baby. We dedicated ourselves to live before the child, a life to where the child can see Christ. That's wonderful. All right. But just remember, mama's salvation won't save you. Daddy's salvation won't save you. It's got to be your own personal experience. Okay? So then the new birth. What is it then? It's to be born into the family of God, just as the natural birth is to bring you into the natural family upon earth. Your spiritual birth brings you into the spiritual family. Okay? And as it brings you into that part of the family, then you can see your own self in your experience. All right. Now, so what has been our point? Do you remember when God first contacted you or, you know, began to deal with you? Because it tells us there in the book of Acts, you know, where that 3,000 was coming, that it's, they heard the message preached by Peter. The last part of Acts 1, 2 coming through, they heard a great message about the Lord Jesus and what he had done and what he come to do and how everything was to be done and work, you know. And as they did, then they become, the Bible says, pricked in their heart. Well, see, have you ever been pricked in your heart? You say, well, what does that mean? It don't mean stick. It says pricked. That's, you know, it's not that point. It's, have you ever had anything, something to happen to you to where that you knew something was dealing with you? Maybe it's a way of putting it, or however, the thought that as you was doing, then you begin to pray. You begin to seek God. All right. So then you can see truly that repentance and remission of sins is where you're starting your journey as a Christian. And you accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right. But has he accepted you? Well, I didn't know he had to accept me. Well, then you do now. Because, see, that's the point. That salvation is deliverance. All right? See? He must accept us. We can call all day long upon him and do whatever we do. We can baptize. We can repent. We can cry out. We can do all things. But if he doesn't accept us, well, now, if he's not called you, he doesn't have to worry about accepting you. That's why the scriptures is correct. See, it says what? Repent every one of them and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. Right? If you follow in his word, then he's promised you. All right? Now, I want the promises of God. I don't know where you think about it like that. I sure want to, and I don't mean this wrong as a comical point, but if there's anybody owed anything, you know, I've always said it like this. I ain't going to rob anybody. You know, I'm not going to do that. But there's one thing about it. I'm going to rob you before I rob him. Because I want to stay on the good side with him. All right? Is that your point? Don't you want to stay on the good side with the Lord? So if I'm going to rob anybody, I'm going to rob you. You know. And that'll set it up. But I'm not going to do that anyway. It's just an illustrational point of what we're talking about. But really, see, has God ever dealt with you? Because in the Bible there, they would come to a point and they would recognize that God was leading them, and then they would move on into the Lord and go on. Has he ever done that to you? Do you remember when you first went to the altar, say like that? When you first had contact with God through some feeling, thoughts, or ideas, or, you know, some concept or whatever. Something dealing with you.
Yeah. Right.
To where that you know and realize God is real.
Yeah.
Right. And see, then, that way, you come to repentance. So what's the first thing in God? Repentance.
Yeah.
All right. He's calling you. He's contacted you. He's spoke to you. Now what's he saying? What's the next thing to do? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. Now you got to do the repentance part. Because see, your repentance will show whether you're genuine or not. Because repent is not what we always thought it was. We always thought repent was to say, I'm sorry. Well, that's good. That's a definition of it. But the real meaning of repentance is to turn around.
That's right. That's right.
You think about it. It means literally turn around.
Yeah.
You were going one way, you turn around and go the other way.
Right.
You were living for the devil.
Right.
You were walking in his realm and doing his thing. And then you repent and say, God, forgive me.
Yeah.
Well, you don't keep walking the same way and doing the same thing.
No.
Right? So you turn around and go the other way. So repentance and the remission of sins would be in the name of Jesus Christ. All right? Now see, if your repentance is genuine, now we're back where we was a second ago. If your repentance is genuine, see, now you're contacting God and asking him to accept you. Right? You're asking him to accept you as his child. All right, what's he saying? All right, I'm taking your word. See, now there's where, to me, the whole Bible is based upon, what would be the words we could use, commitments and things like that. Life is based upon those things. You make a commitment. You get married. You do this. You do that. You build a new home. You get a new job. You get a different commitment or thoughts and ideas. Right? But see, God simply asks you to accept him as your Savior. And if that's genuine, you know what? then he'll accept you.
That's right.
But remember the point. You can accept him all of your life. But if you're not genuine.
That's right. Amen.
Well, you know, I'll ask him to save me. But was he genuine? Did you turn around? Or did you keep living the same life you was living, but claiming I'm a Christian now because I've repented? You know, God knows better than that. He knows whether or not we're sincere, right? So don't make no commitments that you don't want to live by. That's really the main point, you know, whatever it is in life. Don't make any commitments unless you intend to live by that commitment. Right? And see, then salvation is based upon whether or not your repentance is genuine. Simple thought, simple point to talk about salvation. Well, I cried, I done this. Well, that's wonderful, all that's good. But what about what led you there? What about did you get a contact from God? Did he come down and speak to you, and, you know, one way or the other? You become convicted of your life. You become, you know, saying, well, Lord, I'm sorry. Huh? You say, well, the Bible says if I'll repent, then he'll accept me. All right, that's wonderful. You got the Bible. But remember, a half-hearted confession is not a repentance. You know, that's why I said repent means to turn around. Because when you say, I'm sorry, right? That's cheap words. That means I'm sorry. A lot of it means I'm sorry that I got caught. Right? It's not sorry to want to get rid of it. It's sorry I got caught. Okay? See, then that's what we ought to think about God. When he contacts us, not to just use the words, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Now, come on, kids. Come on, adults. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, mama and daddy got on to you and you said, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What'd you call it? That little old doggy face. What was it? What's the words for it? The little thing, you know, that you got the doggy eyes and you're looking at mom and daddy and you say, I'm sorry. But then about 2 days later, you're standing there and saying, I'm sorry. Two more days, I'm sorry. Right? See, it's not genuine. You understand my point? God knows whether or not our heart is true and right upon him. He knows that sure more than we do. All right. So repentance and remission of sin is to be preached in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. You accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is a wonderful thing. But if you're genuine, your repentance is not genuine, he doesn't have to accept you. That's my point. That's the whole goal of what I'm driving at. To us to think about, you know. So you get preachers, and I'm not throwing off on nobody. I'm just putting it plain. But you know, you get a lot of people, a lot of preachers, they like to get up in the pulpit and they like to condemn you. Right? They like to try to make you humble hearted by condemning you. Well, that's wonderful. That's all right. But does it last?
Right?
How long did it last the first time you repented? Yeah. I told you about, man, he used to come to church with us. We'd go, you know, every time we'd have any kind of revival or anything, we'd go to him, you know, try to talk to him. And he'd say, I'm coming. And he'd come that night and he'd get in the altar and he'd pray and cry. And he'd get up and say, I'm saved now. Well, he never made it till the next night. Because he never made the next meeting. Well, a year later, you go back to the same man contacting him. Well, that's the point of what I'm trying to say. That's one of them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Mama, Daddy, forgive me. I'm sorry. If you give me a change, I'm going to do it again. You know how I've always held it. My kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, they have a halo over their head. Held up by horns. Yeah. Jacob's life, and he'd heard that before. Held up by horns. Oh, but we got the best kids in the world. Don't be deceived. Puppy dog crying, you know. Yeah. Don't whip me. Well, we certainly don't do like Brother Gary Atkins. Dad was a doctor, and he was a great old guy. And the way he done things, though, is Mama would come in and say, you know, Gary's been doing wrong. You need to whip him. Well, you know, Dr. Atkins would take Gary into the bedroom and lay him down across the bed. He'd get his belt. And he'd wind up real hard, and he'd whammo, and he'd hit the bed. And a couple of times hitting the bed, Gary would look at him, he said, you know, and say, what's going on? He said, holler. He said, oh, okay. He hit him at, ah! See? Now, dodie old granddaddies. Dodie old granddaddies. But we got one sitting back in the back here that will tell you a story that none of the rest of the grandkids can tell you. Because none of them's ever been whipped by me. Huh? Zach wouldn't get down off the ladder where I could do the work. Every time I'd get him off one side, he'd go up the other side. He wasn't about 2 or 3 years old. And so I kept telling him, boy, I'm going to whip you. But he didn't believe it. He kept running up that ladder, getting in my way. So I really did give him, oh, man, I just beat him to death. You know what I mean? I picked him out, and I went, and I said, now get yourself in the house. And, well, he'll tell you till the day that Paw beat the daylights out of him. But he remembers it. At least he did get off the ladder and get out of my way. But see, saying, I'm sorry, is cheap. Just remember, when you're telling your buddy, your husband, your wife, your daddy, your mama, whatever, kin folks, when you're telling them you're sorry, you know, eventually they'll find out whether that's right or not. Right? Somewhere down the road, they'll find out. But just remember the one point. When you tell God you're sorry, he already knows before you ever said it whether you mean it or not. He already knows before you say it whether you mean it or not. So there's no need of trying to pull nothing over on him. You say, well, what do you pray? You pray, Lord, help me, and I ain't going to do that again. I don't pray that way. How many of you pray that way? How many of you pray like that? God, you help me, and I ain't going to do that again. A few days later, you done it again. Right. I don't pray that way. I said, Lord, help me. Take care of me. Forgive me for doing it. But now, Lord, you take away the need of that. You remember explaining about maybe if you smoke or something like that? Ask God to take away the need and the desire of the cigarette. Now you got it right. See? All right. See, you got God on your side to understand that you're a human being. Because that's one thing he understands we are. And that's the point of what I'm getting at. That's where he knows salvation, whether it's genuine or not. Right? So you're not fooling nobody. Because like I said, eventually mom and daddy, whatever, a brother, sister, husband, wife, whatever, eventually they're going to catch up with it, with us, and we're going to be in problems, right? But see, God knows before you ever start. He knows why we do those things. He knows our thoughts and all before we ever even think them. He knows whether our repentance is genuine or not. And that's what I'm getting at. If our repentance is not genuine, why repent? Well, I never heard anybody preach like that. Well, I'm just honest. That's one thing you'll find out about it. I'm honest. I don't try to stretch nothing. I just tell it like it is. The day Danny got his boat hung up in the lake, he was looking for me to get out, and he said, one of us has got to get out. I said, not my boat. I'm just honest. Being honest is a whole lot straighter. That's what my wife said. You stay out of a lot of trouble if you wouldn't be as honest. Tell everything. Well, I'd rather be that way than be anything else. What about you? You see, I believe in a salvation that works from an inward experience to where that it works outwardly through us, and we are a triune being, you know, like a body, and then we have a spirit within us that the body has five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, and then your spirit within you has a five senses of memory, reason, conscience, affections, etc. That's working in your spirit realm, and then your soul, it has one sense, or, you know, call it, it's either faith or doubt. It's either true or not true. It's either right or it's wrong. Yeah. And see, then we're not deceiving nobody in doing it, and we're certainly not deceiving God in doing it, because, see, you don't sin with your body. You think you do. No, you don't sin with your body. I can fix that in a hurry. You think you sin with your body? Come up here and call me a liar, but give me a hammer. What do you mean? Right before you say it, right before you call me some dirty name, I'm going to hit you in the head with a hammer. I'm going to knock you out. You don't sin with your body. Simple terminologies. You sin in your spirit realm, or your memory, your reason, your conscience, affections is dwelling within that realm. There's where you sin from. Right? And we sin from that point of us that is the one that motivates us. See, we can love God and actually be loving Him with our spirit and not loving Him with our inward being of what is called a soul. See, David would cry out and said, Lord, forgive me. He said, my soul troubles me. He would cry out and ask God to forgive him. But there was nothing back there, because he was living in a time frame that were there was no new birth, because Jesus Christ had not come and died yet. So he had to come and die and release the life to come back into us and, you know, to make us to where we could be Christians. But David would cry out in his heart and long for God to help him. Yet he'd go right back and do things. But you see, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be to the point that when we ask God to forgive us, that we're crying out from that inward part of us. That part of us that's so longing to see God. You ever been that way? You ever just desired to see God? You ever desired to just say, Lord, I'd like to, who was it, Job, basically, in paraphrasing it, he wanted somebody that he could go, you just studied the book of Job, he wanted somebody that he could go to and knock on the door and talk to. That's paraphrasing the whole Bible of what he wanted. He wanted to contact that God that had created him, brought him into being, and contacted him at times. He wanted to contact him. He wanted to go and knock on his door and him to come out and talk to him. That should be our whole Christian desire, is to be able to contact our Maker. And be to the point that we could say, Lord, I can't do this. You know, that's where our problem is. We think we can live a Christian life by ourselves, but we can't do it.
Amen.
We can't live a Christian life by ourselves.
That's right.
It takes God to live a Christian life.
Amen.
As the saying goes, it takes Christ to be a Christian.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And you know what I'm talking about is true. We can do fine for a few days, but then all at once we fall back.
Right.
That's human. Then we go right back to God and we say, God, forgive me and help me.
Yep.
And you know what? He'll forgive us. But then when he comes to a point, after a while, he says, straighten up.
Amen.
Get straight.
Right.
You've been here too many times. Your little puppy dog face is not doing any good. Because I know why you're doing these things. David would cry out. He said, Lord, my soul thirsts after thee.
Amen.
As a deer panteth after the water brooks.
Amen.
We hunters know what that is. You shoot the deer. It wants to run to water. It's thirsty.
Amen.
It's got to get to water to live.
Yes.
See, that's what David was crying out. Lord, Lord, just come and help me. Now, what's the point I'm trying to get to and quit? You see, the disciples, they had walked with the Lord Jesus through his life for 3.5 years, and been trained and taught by him and tutored, you know, and things, great things were happening. They were praying for the sick. There were many different things were happening. The healing of the sick was taking place by the disciples. And yet, they could never get to a complete release that they wanted. But they desired. But you know, there come a day when it, like I like the scripture where it says, I gave it to you there the other day, you know, where finally the disciple says, or Jesus says to the disciple, said, now, do you now believe? You know, that's a pretty good point. It's, do you now believe? You know, they said, well, we believe this, we believe that, we think this. And he said, do you now believe? In other words, are you really sincere about you believing? Do you want to be a Christian? Everybody wants to teach to you and talk to you about going to a great happy hunting ground or a beautiful place or going up to glory or to heaven or whatever we want to do. But do you really want to give up everything here to go there? What if he asked that? What if he asked us to give up what we enjoy here to be able to go there? Would we consider it to be worthy? No. Worth it all to give up everything? You remember the rich young ruler? Oh, he'd done everything. And Jesus didn't argue with him. I've done all these things. Kept them all since my youth. He didn't argue with him and say it's wrong. He knew he had. But he hit him where it hurt. He said, go sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Come follow me. He knew the point that would cut the man more than anything was his money. Huh? But you know, but the money didn't mean anything. Because I'm like this. An honest and sincere heart is what God is looking for. That's according to the scripture. Our good doings, our good lives is fine. if it's lived from a Christian life within, to come out and let others see Christ in our lives. But you see, there was one walk there with them, with the disciples. There was a man walked with the disciples. He had part of the ministry, the Bible says. He healed the sick. He cast out devils and things like that. He walked there with them. His name was Judas. Huh? Ain't nothing wrong with Judas in the writings of the scriptures. You have nothing until you come. Now we know that Jesus, being Almighty God, knew whether Judas was going to be right or wrong. Sure, we know that. But get the point. He was not beat on and hammered about his life. He had his own choice to make. As I said, has God called you? Well, see, he called each one of the disciples and said, come follow me. He called Judas. And said, come follow me. You know what? Judas followed him for a long ways. Judas followed him as far as repentance. He followed him as far as baptisms. He went a long ways walking with the Lord each day, fellowshipping with him. But what made the difference then? What made the difference in the 120 in Judas? Well, could it be that the Lord knew he wasn't sincere in his heart? Would not that be the best answer? He done all he could do and walked and done things, and he honored it. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, as we'd call him, you know, because he'd say, well, you know, we believe you. We believe in all of what you're doing and your works and was trying to do. What made the difference? Something came up that became more important to him than his salvation. It was money. See, money's going to get most people. Right? Popularity, the ones. Money's the other. Bad thing. It's going to get most all of us some way or the other. Ain't nothing wrong with having money. I believe if the rich young ruler, I'm serious, I believe this, if the rich young ruler, when Jesus said, go sell what you got, give it to the poor, if he'd have said, Jesus, I'll give them half of them, is that okay? I believe he'd have said, okay. Because he didn't need his money. Right? Anybody that could send somebody down to a river and throw in a line and draw out money out of a fish, he didn't need nobody to. You understand what I'm getting at? God don't need your money and mine. It's a pleasure to get to give it to him. It's a joy to give it to him. It's an honor to give it to him. He don't need it. Right? But you see, Judas come to that point that he made a decision. Come on, I can quote the prophet to you. You know that. He said, Judas come to justification. Judas come to sanctification in his salvation. You can't say Judas was any different than Peter and them. I mean, Judas didn't wind up cussing about it. Peter wound up pretty well got fouled up when he didn't want to be recognized as being with the Lord Jesus. Right? You remember that in the Bible? And Judas, after seeing what he'd done, he went out and hung himself. Because he knew that the man he had walked with for 3.5 years all the time knew his heart. Knew him well enough to know, but yet trusted him. He was the treasurer of the church. He didn't beat him and hammer on him. What good is that? That's what most people think salvation is. You know, you beat somebody some enough to get them to the altar. There's two ways of breaking a horse. You can break it with love or you can break it with a whip. Both of them will achieve the same end. But which one do we want? I'm just talking about salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. You could say, well, he just didn't understand. All he had to do was believe. Now, wait a minute. You got a man that was coming to Jesus that was putting his life on the line, his job on the line, and had a lot of trouble if they found out he was there. Because they were certainly going to be after him. Right? If they found out he was there. The church, I'm just asking a simple question, is what I've been asking. Can you go back in your life and find a place that you found God? Where you started. Is that still holding you today? Can you still remember that? Are you like this soldier was, you know, that was dying, you know, and chaplain went in and talked to him. He said, where was your last contact with God? Can you remember it? Well, he lay there for a little while and looked around, and all at once he says, now I lay me down to sleep. He knew where he left God. Do we know where we've left him at? You know where he's at? Right where we left him. He's waiting on me and you. Because that's the point we're talking about. What? We make our commitment. We accept him as our Savior. We make our commitment. Then he accepts us and walk. We walk with him and we have a wonderful experience in life. Do you remember where your last contact was? What about it? See? What constitutes, as we're ending up, the natural birth? Water, blood, life. What constitutes the spiritual birth? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Accepting Him as our Savior. Pleading the blood to cleanse us and set us aside. And then let Him come and fill us. I remember a simple little story that always has helped me. Your beginning of your experience, your example of that is like that you're laying out in a chicken yard. You're a glass or a cup. It's the story. You're a glass or a cup laying in a chicken yard. Someone decides they have a need for that. So they reach down and they pick up the glass. You don't put nothing in the glass because it's dirty. You don't pour no water in it. You don't want to use it. Right? But you got a reason for picking it up. Amen. That's what God done with you and I. Amen. He stooped all the way from glory to come to earth. Amen. To pick us up. Amen. Huh? Remember St. John 17:17, he sanctified them. He set them aside. He cleansed them. That's what he's wanting to do with me and you. See, that's what repentance does. Repentance works on the basis of cleansing. Because you take that glass and you take it in the house and you scald it, you know, you wash it. You got it right, but it still ain't in use yet. You had a purpose for it. When you put it to the purpose that you do and you fill it with water or something to drink or whatever you're doing, you know, a liquid, something you're using it for, now you got it to the basis of what you're using it for. And that's what God's doing with every one of us. See, we're making our own decisions as to where we stand. But I say, you say, well, I've asked God to save me. That's good. But did you make any promises in that time? Just remember, if you don't keep them, he don't have to keep his. You don't keep them, he don't have to keep his. All on the basis of what you keep. Well, I believe I'm saved. Well, great. But do we live like the devil and claim to be saved? See, if we live like the devil, that's the one that's living within us. Right? But what about your salvation? Can you put it on the basis of saying, I believe the word of God. What it says do and don't do, I try. That's it. You don't say I'll do because you might not do it. Just say, Lord, I'll try. Because you'll find out one day that trying will turn into a definite commitment. Then you'll realize that, hey, I done the best thing in the world was to say unto him, God, help me. Because I need help. What about it? Can we put our salvation into the Word of God? In other words, take the Word of God and see our experiences. Or are we going to wind up like Judas? It'll go good for a while and then leave. That's our choice. Jonah 2:9 says salvation is of the Lord. Okay. I accept what he's done for me. But you know, the way I live and the way I act will determine whether or not he has accepted me. Right? What about it? Come on, musicians. What about it? Is your salvation holding you? Now, here's the point we end with. It's not whether you hold on or not. She said, well, it is, ain't it? No, it ain't whether you hold on or not. It's whether or not he holds on. And remember, he'll hold on as long as you keep in his word. Then if you stop keeping his word, whose fault is it? Right? Whose fault is it? It's our fault. Let's stand together. Think on salvation. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish. when you first contacted God, or He contacted you. Pray one for another.
My hands to worship and to magnify thy name. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. overflow.